Tonight is bloom night. Linda Zellmer perches on a stool, gazing at the swollen bud of an orchid cactus.
I wish it would move a little faster. But it's slowly opening.
Zellmer is a librarian at Western Illinois University. In addition to shelving lots of books, her library houses thousands of potted plants, including a 100-year-old jade specimen and a 15-foot-tall fig tree. But the most alluring plants the library houses are three orchid cacti, known to botanists as Epiphyllum oxypetalum. Admirers nickname it Queen of the Night, or Lady of the Night, because it blooms in the dark, and each bud opens just one night a year.
When it opens up, you can smell it, like this whole area will smell like this flower. You know, sometimes it gets to the point that it's really overpowering.
This particular Lady of the Night lives a solitary life, rooted in a small pot under the shadow of an umbrella tree. But tonight is its one chance to do what it was meant to do, spread its seeds. A few weeks ago, the cactus pushed out a single bright green bud that hung down from its fleshy stem. Zellmer photographed as it extended 4 inches long. Then, she says, it stood up, eager for birds and bugs to swoop in and collect some of its pollen.
The stem that the flower is on literally hooks up like a shepherd's hook. And right now the flower is so heavy that it's just laying on the floor.
In its native habitat, stretching from the subtropics of Mexico to the rainforests of South America, the orchid cactus would never touch the ground. Instead, it clings to the branch of a tree 40 to 60 feet up. It can grow 20 feet tall, wrapping its roots around the tree's trunk and feeding on sunlight, rain, and air. Perched in the rainforest canopy, the flower blooms bathed in moonlight amidst the whirl and buzz of nighttime creature life. The library is silent.
It's just relaxing. It's quiet in here at night.
It's approaching 10 o'clock, and finally, it starts to happen. First, the bud's outermost petals peel back, wiry and pink. Then the middle layers fringe and part, long and thin like a piano player's hand.
Looks like it opened up a little bit more.
You can smell it now, too. Mm-hmm.
Soon, the flower's central blossom balloons and its wide opal petals start to unravel. By full bloom, they'll stretch to the size of a dinner plate, revealing a beaming white, almost iridescent center.
It looks like a little spider in the middle, but it's this pure white, and it smells wonderful.
At this point, the blossom is literally throwing off heat. Its warmth, a siren's call to the forest's hummingbirds, bats, and moths. Come, I'm ready, you can imagine it scream. If the orchid is lucky, one of these creatures will be covered in pollen from another orchid cactus. As the creature dips into the petals for a drink, the pollen will brush off and trickle into the flower's center, fertilizing the tapioca-like embryos inside. Then, the plant can bear forth a big red fruit, filled with orchid cactus seeds.
Ours have never produced fruit because they never get pollinated. In the wild, they do produce some sort of fruit.
A little before midnight, Zellmer packs up and heads off. By the time she returns tomorrow morning, the blossom will be spent, and the cactus will look like just another plant in the library. That is, until next year. Abby Wendell, Harvest Public Media.